In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. There is a deep conflict between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. That conflict was there from the beginning, when Christ walked with his apostles. The world hated him, could not continue to function as it preferred, so long as he was in the world, and they crucified him, tried to destroy him, failed. He came into the world exactly to challenge that kind of power, that kind of authority. Most of the time, we align ourselves with the kingdom of the world. Kingdoms of order and domestic life, where we are the ones in charge. And God's role is to help us to maintain the peace and order of our own rule in our own lives. But that's not what God came into the world in order to establish. He came into the world in order to establish his own dominion, his own kingdom, that is there and in the world because he is the creator of the world. And he is our creator. And we have a place in his kingdom. We have a place in his dominion. And we've lost that place. And God came into the world in order to reestablish our place in his dominion, his kingdom. For the first 300 years of the Christian life in the world that we call the church, the new creation, the new way of life that God established by his work, that kingdom of God, the Christian faith itself, was illegal. It was against the law to be a Christian throughout the empire for the first 3 centuries. In the 4th century, that changed, and that's why we so often are referring to things that happened in that century, because that was the first time that it was legal to be a Christian. And there was a flood of people into the church and a flood of writing about the past 300 years, the history of those times of martyrdom and a keeping by writing down for the first time many things, stories, histories of the church in that time of persecution. Near the end of that time of persecution, Saint Panteleimon was born. One of the last great massacres of Christians occurred in 303 AD under the Emperor Maximian. It was in December. And among the survivors of that massacre, 20,000 Christians killed, there were 3 priests. And one of those priests became the teacher of Panteleimon. Originally, his name was spelled slightly differently because his parents had given him a name that said that he would be fierce as a lion. Panteleimon changed the spelling of his name slightly so that it meant the one who heals. He was a doctor, trained as a physician. And after he was baptized a Christian by that priest, he took a vow that he would serve the poor and those who were ailing in the name of Christ without accepting a fee, for which he is called one of the unmercenary, those who do what they do for the glory of Christ. And he served so many, became so popular, all of the poor went to him, that the Emperor Maximian himself heard about it and called Panteleimon before him. And a good word has to be said for the doctors of that time. There wasn't a medical association, I don't think, like we have now, but they looked out for each other, and the non-Christian doctors came to defend Panteleimon and ask for mercy on his behalf. They were so inspired by the life that he led. But the emperor demanded what the emperor always demands: give up your reliance on Jesus Christ. And of course, Panteleimon refused. Those 3 priests who had survived the massacre were sought out and brought before the emperor. And the 4 of them were tortured. But according to legend, for Panteleimon, the torture was like nothing. The emperor condemned all to be killed, and Panteleimon was beheaded. The question is, why this animosity between the emperor and a man who has done nothing but good? Well, there is a competition between the emperor and what he's trying to accomplish as emperor, and this interference by someone whose authority comes from outside of the ordered world of the empire that Maximian is trying to accomplish. And Panteleimon and this faith of the Christians is a distraction. It draws the loyalty of people that Maximian wants to have for his own in another direction, as though there is a power and authority greater than the power that the emperor is trying to use in order to organize and hold things together. This conflict was prophesied by Christ himself. We heard him this morning from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, explaining that the world will hate you if you are at one with me. There will be an animosity between you and the world. Jesus says, I chose you out of the world, and you are with me. The world has seen me, he said, and it has hated me. And look at what Jesus is, and yet he is hated. Elsewhere he has already said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He doesn't say that again now, but what he does say is this: they have seen me and the Father, and they have hated both me and the Father. They will hate you if you are one with me. And then he says, I will send you the Comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit from the Father. And he, the Holy Spirit, will witness to me. And he says, you too, receiving the Holy Spirit, will witness of me. Panteleimon is a witness to Jesus, the Christ, and the life that God has brought into the world that all of us share, and that all who were Christians shared in his time. There was a new kingdom in the world that demanded and received the loyalty of all Christians up to and including the threat of death by the greatest power, the greatest empire that the world had ever known. There was something greater. The kingdom of God was in the world, and those who were members of the kingdom of God did not fear the power of this world and could stand against it and do so successfully. This is the spiritual struggle. It's the same spiritual struggle that we endure when we do spiritual battle within ourselves. We know about that spiritual struggle because we've had Great Lent. There's another fasting season starting this Friday, incidentally, so there's another opportunity always just around the corner. And we know about that spiritual struggle. Between our love of God and our oneness in Christ and the kingdom of this world, the kingdom that wants to make us king, put us in charge of our own lives, have us decide, call the shots, what we're going to do with our lives, how we're going to treat one another. If we want to know, all we've got to do is reach deep into the inside of our emotions and passions and feelings and let come out what we really want to do. What I really want to do is, we know about that way of life, and there is a conflict between that kingdom of this world that makes us king and, on the other hand, ourselves as we are united to Christ. And we fight that battle. We try constantly to remain conscious of Christ and who he is, and the fact that we so often are faithless to him and are called back to him. The Holy Spirit will witness to me. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us of Christ. And we see that we've fallen short. And we repent and turn around. And you will witness, Jesus said to me. How? By that struggle. Exactly by showing that there is a kingdom in this world that is greater than the powers of this world, and we are members of that kingdom. And we will not be faithless to Christ, even in the face of death. That's what Panteleimon did. And that's what we are called upon to do as well. We heard from St. Paul's letter, his final letter, the one to St. Timothy, during the time of his second imprisonment in Rome, and writing to Timothy. He calls him my beloved son, Timothy. He's afraid he's not going to get to see Timothy again because he knows that soon he's going to be martyred. And he asks Timothy to hurry to Rome before winter, before the sea turns rough and you can't come any longer, because he desperately wants to see Timothy. Now, this imprisonment is not like the first one. The first time Paul was imprisoned in Rome, he was given freedom to teach, to preach. This time, it's a harsh condition. Nero is the emperor, and Paul will soon be beheaded. And he writes to Timothy, could be last time to offer him guidance. Timothy will have to go on alone and fight that good fight. And Paul tells him, we suffer for the gospel. Our suffering, he is saying, is one with the suffering of Christ. But the works that we do are not our works. They are works of the grace of God. We do what we do to be the presence of Christ in the world and share the gospel. What does that mean? It's not a book. To share the good news of the new life in Christ that we have, that life that can stand against any power of this world, that God came into the world in order to return, in order to restore to us, so that we can live as true human beings at one with God, because that's the only way human beings can live. And so the things that Panteleimon and St. Paul and we ourselves do that are the presence of Christ in the world are not works of our own. They are works that we do by the grace of God. And St. Paul even says about this grace of God, a grace that we had with him from the beginning. It's an amazing thing to see in St. Paul's letters. His last letter. What is he saying? Human beings are created in order to be one with God. We act and live in the world as the presence of God. Our actions are meant to be the presence of God in the world. The grace of God that acts in us because we have died to the world and are one with God the Father through Christ and in the Holy Spirit. We are as God created us to be. And we live and act in this world in that way. That's how Paul has lived. And he urges Timothy, encourages him, reminds him of the faith of his grandmother, Lois, who was a Christian, and his mother before him, who was a Christian. And he says, stir up what is within you and go on and fight the good fight. That conflict between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God has always been there. And we know who the ultimate ruler of the kingdom of this world is. Not the Emperor Maximian, someone that he answers to. Against the kingdom of God. And our loyalties are tested every time we deal with another person and are tempted not to deal with the love of Christ, not to interact with them according to the grace of God, but to put ourselves first and enthrone ourselves and act with pride. The same battle is going on there as went on in the time of St. Paul and the time of St. Panteleimon. And so let us not make peace between those two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemies of God. Let us too fight the good fight each day, each week, this year of the Lord, and for the rest of our lives, because we are alive in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.